Welcome to the Dark Depth Podcast, your go-to place for the modern and legacy format. I'm one of your hosts, Billy Mitchell, and with me, the mother goose himself, Michael Madsen. How are you?
I'm hungry. How are you?
I'm starving. My wife and I were actually talking about that before. Like, she skipped lunch. I had the skimpiest lunch imaginable, so we are both starving over here. The kids have been well fed, of course, but... Oh, gosh, I'm hungry. Yeah, I mean, I know we're encroaching on your dinner time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Every week.
Every week, yep. I mean, same here, right? But it is definitely tough, definitely tough. Yeah, we should probably just jump into Magic, but I do want to talk about the avian situation over here. The birds, I know last week were like real annoying. So apparently, and I don't think this is legal, which I guess no one rattle me. Everyone be cool. Everyone who's listening right now is agreeing to be cool. Great. So I went on the YouTube and I found a like high-pitched, high-frequency sound that birds apparently dislike. The birds apparently very much dislike it. So they scattered.
Whoa.
And I'm sure they're going to come back with a vengeance, but... For the time being, it is quiet. I can barely hear any birds. I'm very happy.
I'm really mad that you said that YouTube. I just want you to know.
What? I mean, what should I call it? Should I call it http://?
Okay, this is not a real conversation.
Okay. All right, well, let's jump into what we wanted to talk about, which it seems like there is... possibly some band announcements coming up soon.
What do you mean possibly?
I mean, like, it seems like that's what the goal is, right? That we're going to get some bands, but we could get some unbanned potentially.
Well, I mean, but the announcement is happening.
The announcement is happening. That is true.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And the announcement could be nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. It could be an unbanned announcement. They could go, you know, we had such a fun time unbanning Preordain. Let's unban it all.
Yeah, and I think that's... I guess for us especially, I think looking at the modern format, there's definitely some things right now that it would make sense to unban, given the power level of the format right now. I think it's... I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I feel like the format is as fast as it's ever been and as unfair as it's ever been, outside of a few corner cases here and there.
I don't agree.
Format, you don't agree?
I wouldn't say as unfair as it's ever been, right? Like, we used to have KCI in the format. We used to have Eggs in the format. We used to have Dredge in the format.
Well, Dredge, I still think it's fine. That's a whole other discussion. I guess we can get into that, too. But, maybe it's not the most unfair, but it's definitely a... I know you asked me earlier, but what was your question about the ban list?
So before that... mm-hmm. I will just say, sorry, on the topic of unbans, mm-hmm. At the MTG Vegas that just happened, mm-hmm. they did a panel where you got to ask some of the Wizards employees questions, and they brought up a really good point about unbans, which was, yes, everybody's always asking for unbans, but it's very hard to get an unban right, because there's like one of three things that's going to happen. The first option is you unban something and it's too good and you're like, oh god, we completely just like ruined the format. Now we have to reban it. Everybody was miserable for a bit. We look stupid. And it's just like, it's bad for everyone, right? Like, it's bad for Wizards because they look dumb. It's bad for the players because we don't have a good time. It's bad for investors because complicated reasons. Then there's the middle option. We unban something. It's great. Everyone's happy. But then there's also the third option. Like, we unban this. It makes no impact on the format. And it was kind of a waste of time. So there's just... But the chances of something being like, oh god, this is terrible. And we already knew this was terrible. So why did we do this? It's just... It's kind of higher than the odds of something good happening. Like, the window where something just adds to the format is so small that it's just so much more likely that everything goes to crap or it just doesn't matter So that's part of why they're so hesitant for unbans, which, you know, does make a lot of sense. That being said, let me play with Green Sun Zenith and Primeval Titan decks.
I mean, that would be sweet. But I definitely get the, I can see that. The Golgari Grave Troll unban was the one that kind of stuck up to me as an example of the card that you unban it. You're like, oh, this is fine, right? And it's like, nope, this is busted. And there was like, what was that, a couple months where Golgari Grave Troll and Dredge were like besties destroying tournaments and things like that. And I had a good time, but I know not the average, the average person did not enjoy that. If they weren't playing the deck.
I will say, even though I just quoted Wizards on that, I do kind of wish they would do that more. And just be very transparent, like, hey, this card is unbanned for a month. At the end of that month, very well might go back on the ban list. Like, we're just testing it out. It's like, they tried that with, what is that format? Is it Historic? I think it's Historic they did that in. With the suspended list, and I would love to see that kind of happening in real life. Although I don't even think they still update the suspended list. I don't really know.
I'm not sure. But I do like that the pocket. I mean, I guess there aren't too many examples of them unbanning cards that have been great hits to the format. I mean, Stoneforge Mystic, Bloodbraid Elf, and Jace the Mind Sculptor seem to be the ones. But even Jace the Mind Sculptor never really saw a high volume of play, right? Like, I think at the point where it was, you know, an option for you, there were just better things to be doing in the format. Bloodbraid Elf, kind of the same boat, where there are definitely some situations where Bloodbraid Elf was fine, but it wasn't a card I was rushing to play. I think Stoneforge Mystic has done the best job of coming back into the format and making an impact.
I forgot Bloodbraid Elf was banned.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just been legal the whole time I've been playing Modern, which, like, cannot be true, but it was legal when I started, and then I think it wasn't legal, and then it was, but it's done, so who cares?
Yeah, it got banned around the time where Deathrite Shaman was taking over, so when people realized that was a good card, which obviously didn't take too long after RTR, but it was around that time. And I think as far as, like, other unbans go, I mean, like, you have things like Bitter Blossom, where who cares? Ancestral Visions, which I know is a corner case at best in some variations of Living End decks, but, you know, it's not really a... Neither of those cards have really made an impact in the format, and honestly, the fact that... I actually forgot that Bitter Blossom was banned. I had to double-check that it was that it was no longer banned, but it was.
I mean, Sword of the Meek has to be the best unban that's happened, right?
I think that's kind of a good one. Yeah, I mean,
and that was the one that was banned, right? I know was, one half was banned.
It was that was banned. It was not the Doctor Foundry. You could play that part. Yeah, I mean, and like I guess that's kind of the sweet spot, right? Where like it is a major player in a deck, and it does make an impact, but it's not overbearing. It's not like everyone's going to adopt ability to be in decks. Like, it's not as niche. But I do think that the Sword of the Meek is probably, like, that perfect spot where you're like, we're happy. Some people are happy. Other people just don't care, and it's all gravy. So, do you want to talk about unbans, potential unbans, or do you want to talk about bans here first?
I mean... I don't know. I feel like we just did talk about unbans. Dude, I don't even, like, know what's on the ban list in either format. Like, any format, I feel like. Like, if you asked me if a card was banned, I would know the answer. But if you asked me to just, like, list the ban list, couldn't do it. But, yeah, sure. I just pulled it up. Do you wanna quick go through and see how we feel about them? So, for Modern, Artifact Lands, yay or nay?
I feel like I have to say nay. I feel like they have too many affinity for artifact effects, and I feel like that would be a bit much to, you know, give you Thoughtcast and Thought Monitor, and as well as the artifact mana. So I'm gonna say no there.
Yeah, so I think it's close because we do have artifact lands, but the fact that the artifact lands we have come into play tapped is a real downside. The fact that they're indestructible is a real upside. That being said, I think Hardened Scales being a very good deck again now and gaining access to like Tree of Tales and Great Furnace is probably a bit much. So I'm with you on no. Arkham's Astrolabe.
Nope, absolutely not.
I miss playing with that card, and it would make me happy, so I'm going to say yes for biased reasons. Birthing Pod?
No.
Yeah, no. Blazing Shoal?
Nope.
No upside. Bridge from Below?
Same deal, no upside.
Yeah, yep. Chromox / Fast Mana in general?
Fast Mana can get out of my modern format.
Yeah, yep. Cloud Post?
The above. I think, actually, you know, to be fair about Cloud Post, I think Cloud Post would be, it'd be cool to see a 12-post variant in Modern with Reclaimer. I think that would be really sweet. So I am actually on board with Cloud Post. I think that's fine in this format, but I think it'd be very strong, but I think it'd be fine.
I don't think it would be a better Primeval Titan deck than the Primeval Titan decks that exist, which is weird because I also think Cloud Post is, like, very much better than the other Primeval Titan decks that could exist in Legacy, but just with the shape of the formats, I think it would be bad. Dark Depths.
I feel like we have to say yes, but like I that's another card. I feel like it. I can't imagine someone dying reliably to Merit Lage in Modern. I just don't see it. So I don't know what the downside would be. I think if you did, that's like an achievement unlocked. So I actually am. I think that's fine if you did unban that.
I also think it is fine to unban. I would play it. People would tell me it's bad. I think I would win enough to be happy with it. Take that for what you will. I don't think it would be tier one or anything. Actually, it could be. I could see it being tier one. I don't know. It would change things a lot.
I just think it's hard for that card to be particularly great in a format where like there's literally a deck that's main decking Dead Gone. Like, that is just a thing that it's doing, and everyone knows that.
Yeah, so, like I said, it's playable. You could, I shouldn't say playable, sorry. It's fine to add to the format. Like, yeah, you could potentially add stuff. And you know I would make it my goal. I would jam it every week until, like, this isn't a huge achievement, but I would at least play it until I could, like, 4-0 a weekly with it.
Yeah, you would lose all your tickets if you played it on Magic Online, so that's a bad idea.
That's not true. Anyways, Deathrite Shaman. Hard nope. No. Yeah. Dig Through Time.
Nope.
Yeah, I missed that card. Hard no. Dread Return.
Nope.
Big no. Eye of Ugin.
Nope.
Tron is Miserable. Sorry, Ryan. Faithless Looting.
I still think Faithless Looting just got caught up in the Hogak, rampage. But in like, I think Bridge from Below is one of those cards that like it got banned, but like that never did anything fair anyways. Same thing with Simeon Spirit Guide. Not that that was in Hogak, but like Bridge from Below is never in a fair deck. No one's using that for good reasons, and I think Faithless Looting is. It shows up in those kind of decks as well, but it also shows up in decks where it's just like, this is just an engine. Like, we had that Mardu list that was playing things like Bedlam Reveler and the Seasoned Pyromancer, and like, Faithless Looting was just a value piece in that deck, not KO'd a couple decks, other decks along the way too. So I would like to see Faithless Looting back, but I do, that's another card, I understand why you can't have it, but I still don't think it was that bad. I think it was an attackable enough strategy where I think it's fine, but I know people don't like Faithless Looting in general.
I will say first, now that I'm actually looking at this list, man, I like did not realize how long it was. Yeah, this was not the original plan, listeners. We've gone off script, but I like it. We're going to keep going. Yeah. Faithless Looting, I think you could have unbanned until Modern Horizons 2 came out, and then I think it became impossible. You can't have, like, Persist and Archon of Cruelties with Faithless Looting. Like, I know that Reanimator is not a deck that sees a lot of play in Modern, but it is competitive-ish, and it is, like, I think it is very close to being good, and I think Faithless Looting would be too much. And I know you could argue, oh, well, people are main-decking Drawfees, but, like, I don't care. I also think Faithless Looting would be messed up in Scam, because I think one of Scam's saving graces is that you can end up with a lot of very bad cards in your hand. You know, like when you just have like multiple like not dead after alls and like you need creatures or something. So having a way to filter in that deck just seems like it would be miserable for all parties involved.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Okay. So no, we can't play that one. That's fair. No looting.
Look, I had fun with it too, but we already touched on Grave Troll, Greenstone Zenith.
I would like to see that. I think that actually would be, that's like what you were talking before about like the suspended list where it's like, you know, you get this for a month, let's see what happens. I think this would be a really good card for that. Just to see, I think Birthing Pod is a step too far, but I think Greenstone Zenith has enough restrictions where it makes sense to be in the format, and potentially I think that could give a deck like Elves or something like that a big boost. So I'm actually on board with this one.
Yeah, I would be happy to see this. It could be too good an amulet, but 6/7 actually is like a very real cost. My other first thought is I was worried about it with Yawgmoth, but like the cards you want to tutor up, I mean, you mainly want to tutor up Yawg. Getting more tutors for Grist is kind of gross. But yeah, this is like a suspended list kind of thing. Hogak.
No.
I mean, people literally still joke about it being broken. Hypergenesis.
So I was looking at this and I was like, Hypergenesis is like obviously a no, but I was like, you know what? I think if you're willing to do all the other nonsense that you're allowed to do in this format right now, I think this is actually probably okay. Like, you can... I don't think I've seen a modern list actually do this, but like you can Beseech the Mirror and go get Gaia's Will. You can obviously just cascade into Crushing Footfalls or, you know, Living End. I don't think Hypergenesis is... I don't think Crushing Footfalls is anywhere near the level of Hypergenesis. I think it's closer to that Living End level. I don't know if it's above or below, though, but at the very least, Living End, I think, does a very good job of putting together a cohesive game plan that, obviously, if you don't have access to the graveyard, is kind of stymied. I think Hypergenesis, if you don't get to actually put things into play with that card, I think you just sit there with a bunch of 10 drops. So I think that's actually okay. I think if you want to run that game, you are more than welcome.
I think it is okay on power level, but not okay on fun level. We see Glimpse of Tomorrow deck get played, and sometimes people play it with like the big fatties, and that list has basically always been worse than like the Omnath builds, I think. But when it wins, it's not fun. This would be a faster version of that, so at least it ends quicker, but I think it's usually bad, and when it's good, it's miserable from the opposing side. KCI.
No.
Yeah, that's an easy no. Luris.
No, I like that. I like it was a good time, but I think we're done that.
Unbanned, but disallow as companion.
Sure.
Mental Misstep.
No.
I don't know. I think yes. But I will say I never played with Misstep. I played with Mental Misstep in Vintage, and it is gross there. I've not played with it in any other format. I think that the most important one drops in the format right now are Amulet, which I think being able to counter that for free is fine. Ragavan, which I think being able to counter that is fine. And the Scam effects. And I think having additional answers to that is fine, especially since it's often not going to be great against their deck. It does counter the Ragavan too. I'm on board. I'm on board with Misstep.
I will counter with what the counter was back then.
Play Missteps everywhere. I know, but like,
yeah.
I think if Scam wants to put blue cards into their deck, I'm actually happy with that. Like, I actually think it makes their deck worse.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's true. I don't know. I have a difficulty trying to let Mental Misstep into any format, really. I think even in CEDH, I think it's one of those cards that, like, people play it and you're like, God damn it, that card.
I hear you. I don't think it's ever coming off. I think it would be fine, though.
Okay.
I think it might actually solve a lot of the issues people have with the modern format. It could also just be like a complete disaster, and I'm sure we'll have people telling me how dumb I am after this airs. But that's fine. I'm willing to be dumb.
Yeah. We should probably speed run through the rest of this, I think.
Mycus and Thaddeus.
Nope.
No. Mystic Sanctuary.
Nope.
Nope. Oko.
I hate that card. Nope.
Once Upon a Time?
No.
Ponder.
I think with the way Preordain's going, I actually would be interested in seeing Ponder, but only for that reason.
Kind of same. I wouldn't be surprised if you have to ditch another cantrip to unban Ponder, though, which looks weird. Punishing Fire.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, too miserable when it works. We already said no fast mana. Second Sunrise? No.
Nope.
Top?
No.
Yeah, no. Yes, actually.
For top?
Yeah. I think Modern's fast enough that it can handle it. I think, like, the only decks that are particularly slow are the Omnath decks, and I don't think they want top. And I think having top adds some nice gameplay against Scam. Pump them. Splendor Twin.
No, I mean, I think at the time it made sense. I think we're okay not having Twin.
Yes, but suspended list. Summer Bloom.
No, I'm good on Bloom too.
No. Tibalt Trickery.
We cannot have nice things. No, once again, nothing fair will happen with this card.
Treasure Cruise.
Nothing fair will happen with this card.
Jitai.
Nothing good will happen with this card.
I'm okay with Jitai, actually.
Jitai is in the same camp as the Punishing Fire, where, like, I think you need to have something that can be... It's hard for creature decks to come back from that kind of effect, and having to make them respect a card that is maybe a 2 of in your deck because you're playing 4 copies of a 1/2 that tutors for it is a hard sell for me.
I think, yes, it is miserable for creature decks, but it is also significantly easier to interact with based off of, like, cards people just play in their main deck anyways.
Okay.
Uro.
No.
I miss him. No.
About,
so, do you think anything on the opposite side of the spectrum, and I'm sure everyone saw this question coming, do you think the format needs bans?
I think need is a strong term, but I think the format would be better off if we did not have to deal with stupid elementals coming out at instant speed or coming back and being flickered or being reset or being phased out or anything like that. I think the elemental game, we all understand how strong Solitude is. We understand the power of Fury and Grief. I am very sick of getting my spells that are uncounterable getting hit by Solitude. And I'm very sick of getting my graveyard blown out by Endurance. I think we're good. I think we've done it. We've accomplished all of our goals and we can move on knowing that we've made the most powerful set of cycle and Magic.
I actually think Endurance is a great card to have around, personally. I don't know. It has always struck me as very fair and a way to police other things that are going on. I think it's cool when you get to do things like evoke it just to sack it to Yawgmoth. I think being able to police the graveyard decks and being able to police even stuff like Delirium, having the nice counterplay against Dragon Rage Channeler, I think it is a good card for the format. Like, that's the thing, is it is not... Like, the card is far from broken, at least in my mind, and it's a good answer in certain situations, but, like, when that situation comes up... Like, if it's not that situation, you still get a card that's not embarrassing. You're not, like... happy to have it, but at least it's not trash.
Well, I mean, but is that really a selling point? Like, that's kind of like having Well, no, but the issue, though, is, like, you're having a card that is a bomb versus certain decks where they go all in, but then if it's not good versus that deck, it's like, at least they got a 3-4. It's like, yeah, that's obviously you want to play that. Like, why wouldn't you play that? Like, maybe you normally would play two of those effects in your sideboard only, but because, I mean, the downside is it's not the worst. A 3-4 for 3 mana is not terrible, especially with Flash. Oh, man, I can Ambush Viper or something. Like, that's kind of the issue. It's the floor of it is still so high that, like, in situations where the card is not decent, it's just fine, it still ends up being in main deck. So now you have a situation where I can't really afford to play a graveyard deck that's all in. Once again, Living End, I think, does a really good job of putting enough cards back in his hand, obviously, through cycling, where you end up with a situation where you can get hit by Endurance and then rebuild. That doesn't happen for some of these other decks. And this is kind of what I'm saying about the Dredge deck. I just don't think there's a situation where you can actually play Dredge and over the course of a long event, not expect to get bodied by somebody just playing some graveyard interaction. And the fact that someone has to devote a sideboard card, like a Nihil's Ball Bomb, that is has to be played at sorcery speed, has to be a mana, and if they want to get some advantage off it that's long-lasting, they have to put another mana into it. I think that's fine. Relic of Progenitus is a very annoying effect, but if you really want to get that big value, you have to hold up one mana for the rest of the game until, you know, they go for it. Or, you know, you get to race your opponent on number of cards in your graveyard, and you're trying to get rid of relevant cards. Like, I think that's at least an interesting tension. The idea that I can go absolutely banana sandwich, you can tap out, and then you're just like, oh, by the way, here's this. I'm going to body you with this endurance that's uncounterable. That, you know, you're playing this at, I'm playing this on your turn, but I doesn't get hit by Force of Negation. Like, that's kind of my issue. It's just having a creature with that effect that doesn't cost mana makes so many decks invalidated, and it's just hard to come back from. I think at least making it a non-creature type so it can't get hit by something like Force of Negation, it at least gives you some amount of counterplay, but I think the package that it is makes it just so hard for certain decks to play against. And once again, I think it's the floor of it is so high that it makes sense just to put in your main deck even when it's not good.
As somebody whose second favorite modern deck is a graveyard combo deck, I think it's good, actually, if people can shut down graveyards. Like, I find most graveyard decks are not a good experience from the other side of the table. I think if they have a good answer, I think that's good. And I think knowing when to play around something like Endurance, where it is a surprise, and being able to figure out those best lines in an uncertain situation, I think that is a skill testing thing that actually adds depth.
I think I've been in enough situations where I've had, you know, I look at their hand, they've got one random card. It doesn't matter. It can be Land of War Elves, right? And they draw one card, they don't do anything, they pass. I'm like, okay, cool. And it ends up being Endurance. It's enough where it's just like, you know, you do all you can, you just get punished sometimes. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I think that's fine. It's the situations where you are playing and the game is just a normal game, they're doing interaction, and then in addition to tapping their spells and playing what they're normally doing to defend against your plan, they also have this free spell that, once again, is very niche and just does this one thing versus you, but does that one thing very well, I think is very difficult. In the game of trying to actually play an interesting back and forth with your opponent, I think because, once again, your strategy is so all in, I would rather it be something that, you know, could be on board or doesn't nuke your whole graveyard, but just has some small effect. Once again, the Fairy Macabre comes to mind. But, like, nuking the whole graveyard, it's hard for me.
I don't know. I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you mentioned subtlety a bunch. Mm-hmm. I will also say, on the topic of subtlety, I personally want it gone, because I swear if I get my Primeval Titan the subtlety one more time. Yeah. But I also think that card's fine. The game has become so largely about creatures, and the creatures do such busted things that I do think having something that delays them a turn when they're still going to come down and do something awesome is totally fine. It's different if every card is like a Vanifar where you need it in play. I'm not stuck on Vanifar, you are. But it's, you know, when we have creatures like Omnath or creatures like Primeval Titan or even to an extent Yawgmoth that like come down and are like, oh, the game's over now. Like, I think having subtlety is actually totally reasonable.
Yeah, subtlety is the one I think is the best out of the five, not from a design standpoint necessarily, but just from the impact it has in the format. I think that is the one that is trying to not invalidate strategies, but trying to make the game a bit more fair, right? It is, you have these uncounterable spells, which, once again, I know that's the design space they have kind of gone in and out of, but, like, I think coming from Cavern of Souls, now having Delighted Halfling, I think it's really nice to have an effect that doesn't counter, but just puts it on top or on the bottom. I think that's perfect. That makes a lot of sense, and obviously Subtlety came out well before Delighted Halfling, well after Cavern of Souls, but it hits both of those effects perfectly well. I'm wildly on board. The big thing, I think, is if you're getting rid of the other four, and once again, maybe Endurance doesn't go, but you get rid of Fury, you get rid of Grief, you get rid of Solitude. I just think it doesn't make sense to keep those other two. But you don't, obviously they're not all necessarily tied together.
So moving on to Solitude, I feel like Solitude is a less annoying version of Subtlety.
I do not agree. I think Solitude, and it's not its fault. Let me start here, I guess. Solitude is one of those cards that I think got caught up in a bad crowd. Omnap came to town with its leather jacket and its rolled up pack of cigarettes in its sleeve and was like, hey kid, come here with me. And, you know, they skip school together and, you know, Omnath is the one leading the group, but, you know, eventually they go to rob a liquor store and, you know, Solitude's there. Solitude's gonna get in trouble. That's kind of how I feel about that. Like, I think Solitude at this point has done enough where I'm good with that effect being gone just because it is powerful enough in the Omnath strategies where it's not going to get any better. I think if you're going to get rid of... This is also the other issue. I think if you're going to get rid of Grief and Fury, which I think are the two that people are the most aggressive about, I think you kind of have to get rid of Solitude as well, because Solitude just is by far the best of the three remaining once you get rid of the black and the red one.
Something has to be the best. Why not Solitude?
No, it doesn't. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. Like, you can...
I don't know. The internet tells me it's true.
No, you can have a cycle that everything is meh. You know what I mean? Like, that's okay. Not all cycles need to be busted. Like, we are still...
Well, I'm not saying it needs to be busted, right? I'm saying that one of them is almost certainly going to be stronger than the rest. It is very hard to design a cycle where everything is a perfect, you know, 7 out of 10.
Well, I actually think that the Trespasser cycle, the Graveyard... the Cemetery Trespasser or whatever, from Midnight Hunt, I think. I think that cycle is that kind of sweet spot where, like, the black one is, like, good. It's fine. I would play that. The green one, it makes sense to me why that might see play, but, like, you know, it doesn't particularly. But the blue one is in the same boat where, like, that makes sense. I could see that. I would understand playing that. The white one, it's an anthem effect. I get that. I would play that. None of them are, like, outstanding. I think the black one is by far the best out of that five. But, like, it's fine.
So you're saying there's a best, right? And we know it's the best because I don't even know what the others are. I didn't even know it was a cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cycle. But, like, once again, they're not far and away the best. And I think they're all defensible. And that's kind of what my issue is. Like, I think you should be able to have a cycle where it's not outstanding for one and one's embarrassing and, like, isn't invited to Thanksgiving. Like, they should all be within a similar power level. And I just feel like the effect that you get, and once again, it's not necessarily the cards themselves, it's the effect that they have and what they allow you to do. I think Solitude, Fury, and Grief just do too much. I think we... and once again, I think it is cool for the scam players out there. I think the idea that a card like Undying Evil can be a tournament-winning deck, a Pro Tour-winning deck even, I don't think we need to do that. I think that's... I don't think it's a good play pattern for people to enjoy in the modern format.
I'm trying to figure out what this cycle is.
It's like Cemetery... I'm like combining the two, I think. I think I'm thinking of like the Cemetery cycle where it's like Cemetery Illuminator and...
Oh, I know that cycle.
Yeah, yeah. There's that cycle. And then I'm also combining it with the Cemetery Trespasser? I don't know. It's a big modern card. Not modern card. Big, what's that format called? Pioneer card.
So it's not a cycle.
I'm pretty sure it's a cycle. I don't know. You know what? We're not a Pioneer podcast. We're a modern podcast and a legacy podcast, so... I'm moving on here.
It's not a cycle. You're just making things up.
I am pretty sure... Whatever. It doesn't matter. Get in the comments, people. Tell me. Is that a cycle or not?
It's not. I mean, I don't know why you would invite people to tell you you're wrong.
I want engagement, man. You have to... This is like the strategy you got to read. You got to read the books.
No, right. I'm not doing that. Grief and Fury. I was planning to argue against you on these two, but also... we have taken longer than I expected to, and I don't actually believe the words I was going to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I've seen the argument like, oh, like, they're fine. If you can't beat a 4-4, like, are you even, like, you shouldn't even be playing your deck or whatever. But, like, I don't know. That's just not true. Without the Undying Evil effects, it's kind of fine, but, like, Fury just... I think the fact that Fury is... as strong as it is early game, but also so strong late game, is, like, it's just too much. And, like, you could say something similar about Solitude, right? They're both removal early, removal on a body late. But, like, by the time you play Solitude, it usually trades with whatever, whereas a Fury being, like, a 3-3, more often a 4-4 in play.
With Double Strike?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The fact it has Double Strike, it just, like... eats everything in combat. It's like so awful. And Grief just like, I don't know, if you ever mulligan to six and then your opponent just gets to take the two best cards out of your hand, like, yeah, I could draw a removal spell, but, like, you know, they also have a clock, and this is also assuming they're what, just not doing anything else. Like, what are the odds they don't follow it up with like a Trespasser or not a Trespasser, I'm stuck on that card now. A Dothy Voidwalker or a Ragavan. Yeah. Like, they probably have more. They kept their hand for a reason. I also kept my hand for a reason, but then that reason got destroyed. So, like,
yeah.
I will say I'm pretty on board with those cards being gone. And, like, you can sell me on, hey, they're not too strong for the format, even though, like, you could look at something like the Saturday, I think it was the Saturday challenge, where... there are 10 copies of Scam in the top 32. 10 copies. Like, that's insane. And I will say, that is an outlier, but it was also the most played deck in all the rest of the challenges, or at least in the top 32 of all the rest of the challenges over the weekend too, just not to the same degree. But I don't know, it's just like, it's so miserable. Like, the games that you lose to this deck are just, like, not fun because you don't get to do anything. I don't know. It's not a good time.
No. You know what? Honestly, I think it's funny, too, because, like, a lot of these arguments that we're having for Modern, I don't see at all. I think for Legacy, like, I think having access to free spells, I think is great. I think that actually helps. I don't think... I mean, just in general, I don't think a turn one... I could be wrong, I guess, actually, too, but I think a turn one Fury with a +1/+1 counter and Double Strike is not nearly as good. And I actually think it's significantly weaker than Grief would be. I think we're seeing a lot of the Grief reanimate packages showing up in different decks. I think the format can handle that, though. I just think it's a more robust format, it's a deeper format. Getting the two best cards out of their hand still leaves you with... cards that would be banned in other formats. So I'm actually okay with those cards in Legacy. It's just the I think Modern, the floor, some of these decks, you take the two best cards and they're just unplayable garbage. Yeah. And they're never able to recover. Some obviously do, some draw out of it. But the number of times I've seen decks that, like, you know, I'm going to double grief you and now you no longer have access to turn three Tron. You have no chance of getting Teferi down on turn two, and you can't follow that up with the One Ring on three with your Delighted Halfling. You know, it's that kind of sequencing, I think, that is so brutal in the Modern format.
Yeah. Well, so another thing about it, too, is what your removal options are, right? Because in Legacy, Swords to Plowshares is just the best removal spell, which is just a clean answer to either of these cards, and you can play it before, like, the grief ability even resolves, so there's no chance to get it back. And that's, like, a thing that you can do. In Modern, there's not great answers. Like, you could play Path to Exile, but that's not a card that you play. Obviously, you still have access to Solitude, which does permanently get rid of the thing. But, you know, if they're griefing you, and then you two-for-one yourself to deal with the grief, it's still not a great spot, you know? Like, they're still getting three cards from you. Yes, they don't have the threat in play at the end, but it's honestly not that much better than it would have been. And the other thing is, like, Fury would almost be easier to deal with if it was a four mana card, just because then you could at least Fatal Push it. And I know Fatal Push isn't a card that sees a lot of play, but now if it can now all of a sudden deal with all the card, like all the creatures in the best deck, and then moving down the list, like, it's also able to deal with Yawgmoth, and it's able to deal with, you know, a Dryad of the Elysian Grove and an Omnath, then I think the card steps more in the direction of playable. And I, you know, there's still the issue that, like, Black is not played really in Modern outside of Rakdos, and obviously Yawgmoth. You know, maybe it pushes for that to come back. But the fact that it's like, what answer do you play that deals with both? You can play Lightning Bolt, but that doesn't beat the scam package up front. And then, again, if they turn their Fury into a 4-4, then you just sit there and cry, and you're like, I wish I had Flame Slash. Like, it's so awkward.
Yeah, I played a game a couple weeks ago where I got they went turn one Fury of, you know, Evoke Fury and not dead after all, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, that's awful, but sure, let's deal with this. And, like, I have my one Lightning Bolt. I'm waiting. I eventually draw the Unholy Heat. I'm like, oh, finally. Okay, cool. Lightning Bolt this, and then I'll Unholy Heat that. And they're like, cool, I'm going to play another not dead after all. I was like, why do I do this to myself? Why am I this person? And just, like, the fact that the premier... Because one thing, I still imagine Modern as a format that is predicated on the idea that Lightning Bolt is a removal spell. It is. There are certain cards, obviously, that have more, but, like, that makes them better. That makes them significantly better in the format, and there's a cost for that. Maybe it's an extra mana, maybe that's some kind of delay on the spell, or maybe some other, you know, lower power. Like, the fact that, like, a 4-4, because, you know, once again, in the situations we're talking about, 9 times out of 10, I'm not dealing with a 3-3 anymore. I'm dealing with a 4-4. Is just extra brutal. The idea that, like, my removal spell that I have, Lightning Bolt, might not actually be able to kill my grief because I was tapped out like an idiot on turn one playing a creature. And now they're able to, you know, do this and evoke, and they're getting rid of my spell that is going to draw me to another removal spell as well as my actual removal spell. So now I can have a 4-3 that I have to deal with, but I don't have access to Lightning Bolt or the cards I need to actually deal with it. That's kind of the rub there. Like, they both just have this, like, weird second layer of protection, and that's hiding behind the fact that they still have the same kind of effects lurking in their deck as well. It's a difficult thing to kind of overcome.
So... we are running near the end of the time, but do you want to talk about Legacy for at least a bit?
Yeah. So, Legacy, there's nothing super egregious that I would I think needs to come off the ban list. I think this ban list is going to stay the theme. I can't imagine anything getting unbanned there.
See, I was going to ask, like, your task, you have to remove one card from the ban list, and you are genuinely trying to improve the format. What would you unban?
I think I would go for Xurda. I think Xurda the Dawnwaker is probably the least potentially harmful. Like, I think it's either that... I would love to say Dreadheart Arcanist, but I feel like that's not going to happen. I actually could see Goblin Recruiter, like, potentially as well. I know that card is a busted combo card, but I think I think Goblins wouldn't mind having that effect. I think that's fine. I actually think Hermit Druid would also be kind of cool, just because that's a, you know, another strategy potentially that would be opening up. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I think would be a fun thought experiment, but then, like, once it actually started happening, it would just be, like, among the same level of oops, where it's, like, this is not particularly enjoyable when it works, and it's not particularly enjoyable when it doesn't work, coming from the other side of the table. Like, I know people enjoy playing those decks, and I'll be honest, I would be one of the people playing that deck, but I think it would get old to me, and I think it would get old to my opponents. I find it fitting you said Xurda, because my pick was going to be Lauras.
Okay.
And I understand Lauras is busted, but, and I say this, I feel like, every 3 months or so, we haven't seen it with the companion role, or the new companion role in Legacy. I would like to see it with that. I think it could be a good, strong choice for decks like, I think, Variation of Death and Taxes. I think it would be great for Turbo Depths. I think it adds interesting choices to, like, tempo strategies. Like, is it better to do this, or is it better to play Murktide and Up the Beanstalk? Mm-hmm. And at this point, honestly, it's probably better to play Up the Beanstalk and Murktide. But either way, it's at least a discussion. Maybe you have two different, like, completely different branches of tempo decks that are even potentially in the same colors, but are both doing very different things and are both really good. So I would love to see that come off.
Comrade, I'm going to let you know, if I'm playing Lurith, I'm still playing Beanstalk. I'm just playing Force of Will, and I'm playing all spells, but I'm still playing that.
That's fair.
I think, like, I definitely like the idea of Lurith. I think if you do Lurith and Xurda, I think that's fine. I think that's a good, worthwhile experiment to run. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, like, I think that would be something. I think we talked about this on a previous episode too. But the idea of not retesting the companions after the errata, I think, is something that they hopefully will come back to and actually try to work with to see if it is better there. I think it's ridiculous. I think both of those cards are very good without the extra 3 mana cost, but I think with it, I think they could be reasonable.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to ban in Legacy?
Marcus Ewald.
Him? Just in particular? Just
him, yeah.
Oh, jeez, no. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Marcus.
Yeah, he's... Again, I know this is also something I've said on the show before. He's just, like, way better than me. And it's, you know, I hate it. I got paired against him in the challenge this weekend. I was like, well, I'm not going to win. And then I was in a spot where I was like, I got this. He doesn't have this. And then he won. And of course, I was like, yeah, of course he did. That being said, you know, he's great. And I don't actually hope he gets banned. We had a nice chat, but yeah, he just always beats me. In terms of actual cards that I want banned, I mean, I don't think necessarily anything on power level at the moment. There's just, like, cards I don't enjoy, but, like, it's all very personal bias.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at, too. Like, there are definitely some cards I think are super annoying, but, like, I think everything's fine. I think honestly, the Legacy format right now is in a really sweet spot. I think a lot of decks are super playable. I don't think you're not forced to beat the bad guy of Delver for once. I think the fact that Delver Secrets is like not even like a top five creature in the format right now, I think it's a good sign. So I'm actually really happy with the format. I think I would be upset if I saw anything get banned in Legacy right now.
Yeah. Last question I have before we get out of here. And I know I'm doing a lot more of the question asking than usual tonight.
No, it's fun. It's good.
We have next, I mean, it's still like a month for one of these events and 2 months for the other, but coming up at the end of this month and then next month, we have Mana Traders Modern this month, and we have SCG, which is Modern and Legacy, next month. What are you playing in Modern?
Modern right now, I think if I were trying my best to win, I think I'm probably playing either Rhinos or I'm playing Rakdos. The Scam deck is just like so much better than everything else you could be doing in the format. It's just like, it's hard to justify, you know, trying to do anything else. Rhinos I've been playing a decent amount of in the past like 2 weeks. So if you've been seeing me online, I've probably been playing Rhinos. The deck's just super powerful. It's very, very strong. And it's one of those decks that like, if you can have it multiple times and still lose. I got hit by a turn 4 and a turn 5. Turn 4 and a turn 5 Supreme Verdict, a turn 6 Engineered Explosive, and then I still won on turn turn 8. Like, the deck's just very strong. So I'm okay with playing that in the arena or Scam. I think either one of those two. What would you play in Modern?
In the Mana Traders?
Hmm?
Probably something Jank, because I'm sitting at home anyway, so there's like, I don't know.
Sure.
Realistically, I'm probably going to play Amulet and that. In Pittsburgh, when I actually have to drive, I think I would probably play 4-color Omnath. I think it is one of the decks that has the best matchup against Scam, and I don't find Scam particularly fun to play. You know, more power to the people who do. I'm happy you're having a good time. But playing Omnath and Solitude and stuff gives me a lot of game against Scam while still having a good time myself. So, follow up. Eternal Weekend. Still a while to go, but it's this week. What are you playing?
I'm just playing blue-black Scam. I think that deck is just like, one, it's very much my jam, but also it's so much more powerful than I think a lot of the other decks in the format. I do need to go back and try the Grixis Delver list. I know that deck is good, but I think having a strategy that is less, I guess, more resilient to opposing Bowmasters, I think is better. And I having X1s in Delver Secrets and Dragon Rage Channeler and Bowmaster makes it hard for me want to play my own, to play that deck. So I think I would just play a deck where the only target for it is my Bowmaster, and I can hopefully squeak out some wins there. What about you?
So my answer is same as last week. I'm still on Initiative. I still think the deck is very good, although this challenge did not go as well as past events for me. But that being said, I mean, it still won a challenge this weekend, still put multiple copies in the top eights. I don't know. I kind of hate that I'm saying this, but I'm having a good time playing it, and I just, I think the deck is very good. So it's likely where I'm going to be at. I think part of me is going to like try to talk myself into playing Depths for like the brand. But also, you know, I don't believe in pigeonholing myself, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, I think the Initiative deck is definitely on my list of decks I need to try, at least. I'm not sure if it's a deck that I would jive with, but it does have a lot of triggers, which
I actually think triggers. You'll like it.
You think I would?
I do think so.
Okay, so I'll have to try it then. Okay. Well, my copier is going berserk, so I feel like that's time for us to leave. I think that's the signal. Mapson, where can people find you?
You can find me at Expedition Map on both Twitter and the or X, whatever it's called, and on Blue Sky. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Bad Luck Bandit. If you are, once again, I talk about CDH a lot, unfortunately, but if you are playing CDH and you're in the Philadelphia area, I am going to be playing an event at Cloud City. I believe it's in the Lehigh Valley Mall or something like that. So if you're in that general area, definitely stop by. If you are a listener and at the show, let me know. I'm going to have plenty of tokens with me. I'll be passing them out on the day. So yeah, definitely come up and say hello or stop by. We can get some sweet games of Legacy or CEDH in. All right. And if you want to find the show, we are at Depth_podcast on Twitter. We have plenty of cool things, hopefully in the next couple months that we get to do. I've got some plans, but we'll see how that falls. But, as always, shout out to our patrons as well. We actually got a couple new patrons in the past couple weeks, which is fantastic. Your continued support means the world to us. We appreciate you putting your love, trust, and occasionally money in our pockets for us to continue making new and cool things for you. So, thank you. All right, I guess with that, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, bye.
Gavin Maya taps for green, the scene sees reclaim. Untap sack of flagstones, go seek the planes. Then tutor up the stage, so pull out your playbill. Darkness podcast starring Billy Mitchell and Michael Mapson on the microphone. Dripping in Mox Diamonds, the collector of curtains up on act one of this magic show. Set in a forest so dense it looks decomposed. With red liquor nights clash against Death's shadow on the legendary lake covered in ice and snow. Underneath the surface looks a lonely evil, an avatar so dark it could cause upheaval. The night lunges forward, going for the kill, but Death's shadow's too tricky, it just won't sit still. Its stubborn denials compile a stack so thick, the bazooka bug emerges with Gurmag's angling. The night takes a swing at the zombie fishes, but falls submerged for such a distance. Forsaken in the haze of the street rave's fringes, who wanna suffer out, they don't seek forgiveness. Her final breath draws a deafening silence, a sound so sinister no one could describe it. It's like the subtle cracking of a turtle shell, or the surgical extraction of emerging hell. The shards of ice feel a force of vigor, the looming fear releases growing bigger and bigger, until a demon's fingers linger toward the shadow of death. An all-consuming hush, the land goes swept. The night washes up, frozen on the ice. Dryad arbors thaw her out in the green sun's light. An expedition map suddenly unfurls, revealing Merit Lage has rearranged the world.